Thank you, Brother Travis. By golly, there is more than one way to sing a song, isn't there? We appreciate you and all the things you do for us, Travis, and all those of you that have helped us today in our service. We appreciate you and your thoughts that help us to make the service even better. And I'm especially grateful to the people back in the booth. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but they're faithful to be back there taking care of all of the things that are make it easier for us to worship, putting the things up on the screen. And I know that it doesn't always work the way we have it planned, but nonetheless, we have faithful servants back there. David taking care of our live stream, and Lena, she takes care of all of our voices and all of those things that are happening back there. And Wayne, he does our PowerPoint for us. So we appreciate you for making worship a possibility. Thank you so much for your dedication about doing that. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Isn't it great to be back in school, kids? Well, that was a little weak, but that wasn't really fair, wasn't it? Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And everybody together said, amen. It is a great thing. I do want to mention our good brother Rex Neal. He lost his mother just this past week and had to bury her this week. Rex, we send our condolences to you, and we know it's always difficult to lose our loved ones, especially our parents. A lot of loving memories that are there. We went down and enjoyed their service together with them. And so, Rex, we'll be praying for you in the days ahead as well. Well, this, I always crank off my sermon by quoting to you Ephesians 3:20 and 21. But the verses that follow is where we will have our focal point this morning. But before I get into the scripture there that comes right after what I've just quoted, our generation is this generation, where we are right now. I'm not talking about yours, Jim. We don't want to go back that far. We're really right there together. I'm just kidding you. But a whole lot of things keep changing, don't they? Things always keep changing. And when I say I'm not of this generation, it just simply means that I don't know all the things that these youngsters know. I mean, they can sit down at computers and just do. If I want something done, I get my grandkids to do it for me. They can figure out whatever problem is. I see lots of you shaking your head. I mean, I can run the thing and I do all right, but please don't give me a blue screen or don't give me any trouble, because I'll have to get somebody else to do that. Is anybody on the street where I live there? And we live where we are used to. I just want to say this. I sort of welled up with a little bit of military pride this morning, because we were just kind of glancing the news as we were walking back and forth, getting ready and doing things as we normally do. And I saw that the Navy SEALs were swimming yesterday the Hudson River from the Statue of Liberty back to the other side, which I don't know, I think they said it was a little over 3 mile swim against the current. And I mean, it was no simple task for them to complete, but they did all of that because they love our country. A decision they made on their own to train all year long and be able to do that. And one of the commentators on the news show this morning participated with him, and last year he didn't make the swim. James, you and I could do that, no problem, right? James is listening and listening for me, but just shake your head yes, because you know that you and I can get it done. James and I can swim that river. Maybe a little smaller one than that, but anyway, it made me think of what I'm getting ready to talk to you about today. We have so many things at our fingertips. We have so many choices in our world. When I said my generation, Jim, when we went down to get ice cream, they had vanilla and chocolate and strawberry. Am I right about that? And then somebody came along and they said they had 31 flavors. 31. I mean, my mother was in heaven. She loved ice cream. I mean, I'm telling you, she loved to go to that 31 store. I don't know whether you know this or not, but you go Google it. Do you know how many flavors of ice cream we have in this generation? There are over 1,000. Why, you can get chocolate chip avocado. Sounds absolutely delicious, doesn't it? I don't know if you dip your chips in that or what, but nonetheless, we live in a time where we have choices upon choices. Every time I call to get a ticket to get on an airplane, I'm bombarded with 100 other questions other than, Mr. Payne, that'll cost you this much and give me your money. You know, in the old days, that's the way they did it. Where do you want to go? I want to go over here. And I said, okay, how much that cost? And you said, okay. But that's not the way it is today. You know what it is. You want a window seat or do you want an aisle seat? I hadn't thought about it. You want this for lunch or you want that for lunch? Or do you want this or that? You know what I'm talking about. And we have all of these multiple things. And I think it's wonderful, Jim, that we're able as adults, Andy, to be able to make our own decisions. I just want to throw this in there. After these guys swim the river, they also ran and did push-ups every so often and pull-ups while they went over to the war memorial of the 9/11 and of the disaster over in New York City and a couple of other things. I thought, what a wonderful dedication of all these Navy SEALs out there doing these things, making the decision about it to be able to go do that. And that was their choice. And as a Christian, I want to say to you, and this is as political as I'm going to get, is that we have the freedom to make a choice. So I hope that you will respond to that and not be deaf to all of that stuff. I know we don't want to listen to the everyday thing going on because it's just mind-boggling. But remember, we have a choice. I grew up in a time when we had those choices. I hope my grandkids will have the same opportunity. What about the church of your choice? You see, that's kind of where I'm headed here. Is that the idea that the Lord left us? Because you see, the general idea, particularly in America, and I know it would probably expand worldwide, is that whatever makes you happy or whatever your decision is about how you want to worship, that's your choice. Is that what we were left? Let's go to our scripture. It's Ephesians chapter 4. Just what does the Bible say about the church? Therefore, says the Apostle Paul, and the therefore was what? Well, it was because of now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly. Therefore, God has been so good to us. I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you, I'm begging you, to walk in a manner that is worthy of this calling, the calling with which you've been called. How? With all humility and with gentleness. And with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. I want to say to you that this is being written to people who are probably not used to making all of their decisions. A lot of decisions are being made for them. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. In other words, that as we're together as the body of Christ, that this gentleness and this preserving is a part of who we are. There is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, there's one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. In other words, you get the picture here of this being all about God and about what God has to say about the church. How many of you remember, how many of you went to VBS, Vacation Bible School? Did you ever go to VBS? Now, this is not a song limited maybe to VBS, but you remember singing, "A wise man built his house upon the rock." I see some of you doing it, but you're not doing it. Come on. "The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. A wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. Hey, the rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm." Did you sing that? And the foolish man did what? He built that baby on the sand. You want to sing that one, don't you? That's the fun verse. "Oh, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. A foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up." Yeah, the rains came down, the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. On the sand went ash. Oh yeah, yeah, that's the one we got the kick out of. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the rain blessings come falling down. I'll get it in a minute. You and me can stay together, Travis. The blessings come down as the prayers go up. The blessings come down. Been a long time since I sung this song. The blessing came down as the prayers go. And the house on the Lord through. Well, you know how it goes. Better than I do. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Well, that was a good teaching song. A song that taught us about a foundation, one that is built by God. I think it's really important for us to remember that in our verses here, we're reading about something that has substance to it. The church that Jesus built has one body. We're told in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, that he hath put all things in subjection under his feet. And he gave him as the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now I want you to notice that in the wording there, that the words body and the word church are used almost interchangeably. And you'll find this in the Bible as you read about it. When you learn about the church and the body, you'll find that those two are the same thing in reality. That's important. Why? Well, as we stated, what about the church of your own choice? The reality of all of this is that we don't choose the church, but God has chosen us. That is what the Bible teaches. In 1 Peter 2 and in verse 9, we have these words: "You are a chosen race, You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Yeah. God chose you. God chooses us. And what God is expecting from us, of course, in regards to the concept of the church and the body and who Jesus, His Son, is our acceptance and our obedience to what He has to say. And I love the church. I love all of you. I love that we get to be able to be together like this. I wish all of those that were out there in the social distancing land and who are staying away, and we understand that. I'm not saying if you're at risk, I'm not asking you to be at risk. But one of the great things that the Lord has done for us is He brought us together to worship together as a group. And that there was strength, or that there is strength in that. And while we want to protect ourselves from any kind of virus, we still want to be obedient to what God tells us to do. I love the church that Jesus built. I love this old standby passage, Jim, over here in the book of Matthew chapter 16 and those verses 13 through 20. They're old go-to kind of verses that encourage us about what is being done. When Jesus comes into the coast of the Caesarea of Philippi, He comes to His disciples saying, "Well, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" I'll get it right here in a minute. I'll just get over here and read it so I don't get confused. It's easier to do these days for me. I don't want to hear an amen. "Who do people say I, the Son of Man, am?" He says. And they say, "Well, some say that Thou art John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." But He says to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answers and says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but My Father which is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church, and that the gates of Hades," or the grave, the hell, as some versions will say, "will not overpower it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose, and whatsoever thou shalt add on to these things, God will give them power in their preaching." That's what He's talking about in those verses that go on. But the idea, you see, is that it was the church built upon the confession of the foundation of Jesus, who is the Christ. He is the rock. And that's the idea. That's not my choice. He is the foundation. I love the church that Jesus built because He tells me that Jesus is the foundation of the body. He is the foundation of the church. And in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, He said, "For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is," you see it, "Jesus Christ." Yes, He's our founder. That's the foundation. As Isaiah tells us in chapter 28 and verse 16, "Therefore saith the Lord God, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried and true stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, that he that believeth shall not make haste." Isaiah 28 and verse 16. There can be no doubt that Isaiah was writing about the foundation that Paul was telling us about in 1 Corinthians, to let us know about this great foundation, Jesus, who is the founder, who is the foundation. He is the head of the corner. He is the precious cornerstone. And as we're told, Peter says to the council of the high priest at Jerusalem in Acts chapter 4 and at verse 11, "This is the stone which was set at naught by you builders, which has become the head of the corner," Acts 4 and 11. And then Paul would tell us in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, "Therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God." That's because you are built upon the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom you are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit of God, Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. This is the foundation. This is the church. Now, when I was in college, I know it doesn't show, I was there most of the time. Sometimes physically and sometimes mentally. I did tune in. I learned about leaders of religion everywhere. You've heard of them. People like Buddha or Zoroaster or Muhammad, or maybe even people like Joseph Smith or John Wesley or John Calvin or Martin Luther, Mary Baker Eddy. And I'm not disparaging any person here. I'm simply saying those were people either who were idolized after their death, or there were people that were followed because of their wisdom, and they had some. We have other kind of religious leaders, like those of you that can remember, I'll say Jim Jones, for example, or David Koresh, or even funnier still, or funny, not ha-ha, but strange funny, Charles Manson, who claimed himself to be a type of the Christ. And today we have those that talk out loud as well, and you know them, the Al Sharptons, the Jesse Jacksons. We even have popular people like Rick Warren, who write good messages. But brethren, what I'm trying to say to you is that the real message is found in the Scripture. And we have to read what they say. In fact, a lot of people would look at us and they would say, "Well, you all are Thomas Campbellites, or Alexander Campbellites, or Barton W. Stone followers." No, that was a movement. Those were people. And they spoke some truths. But I am here to tell you today, my friend, that this is what we are to follow. This book, these words, that's the church that we search for. And it's an ongoing thing. I'm not trying to say to you that we've arrived. I'm saying we want to stay in the book to understand who we are supposed to be. And when we find the things that are taught by Scripture that are different than what we are doing, then we ought to stop doing them and start doing what the Scripture says. Thank you. Because we want to follow the church that Christ built, or that God authorized. You know that Jesus has all authority. He said, "It's all been given unto me in heaven and on earth." This is Matthew 28, verses 18, 19, and 20, where we learned, "All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world," or the end of the age. Jesus is the person of authority in our thinking and in what we do. I love the church because I'm told that all spiritual blessings are found in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 3. All spiritual blessings. All of the spiritual blessings are in Jesus. And so the question should obviously be, how do we get into Jesus? The Bible says in Galatians 3, 26 and 27, you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now don't get me wrong. Listen to this. Ask Him into your heart. That's great. Ask Him into your heart. And I would assume they would mean this. That's a yes. Call upon the name of the Lord. Yes. I want to make Jesus my personal Savior. Yes, that's right. That's what I want to do. But if you want to be in Jesus, you're going to need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, according to Acts 2 and verse 38, and of course, a multiplicity of other passages. You want to be in Jesus? Then commit yourself to Jesus. Submit yourself to His command and be obedient to Him. And be buried in the waters of baptism. Read Romans 6, such a beautiful passage in those early verses, and it will tell you. If you want to have the spiritual blessings that are in Christ, the Scripture tells us you get into Christ by being baptized into Christ. And I was always taught that things equal to each other were equal to the same thing. Four quarters, Tommy, I think, still makes a dollar over at the bank. Is that right? Well, you've forgotten because you haven't been there in a while. It may be new. I don't know. Things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. So Paul tells us, listen, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13 says, for by one Spirit you are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Greek, whether we're bond or free, and we've been all made to drink into or of one Spirit. The Bible teaches baptized into the body, baptized into Christ. The body is the church. The church is the body. And we are baptized into the one body, to the one Christ, to the one church, according to Ephesians 4. That's the church that Jesus built. I'm not here to argue about that. I'm simply here to tell you that's what the book says about it. Therefore, all spiritual blessings are in Christ, or all spiritual blessings are found in the body. All spiritual blessings are found in the church. And what a great blessing it is for us to be together and for us to enjoy those blessings. I know there's all kinds of spiritual blessings, right, Jim? There's the spiritual blessing of eternal life. Jim can't give me that one, but he can tell me about it. He can help others to get there to it. We just need to believe it. A church that Jesus built. I hope that you're convinced of that. And I hope that you want that for yourself, for your family, for your children, and for your grandchildren. And I hope that we'll be the kind of people that will allow ourselves to continue to speak and teach what the Bible says, and not what I think, not what I want, but what Jesus tells me to do. And then I hope He'll give us the wisdom and the courage to do it. If you're here, we can help you be obedient to any of that. We invite you to come while we stand together and sing.